like for you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Psalms 23. And as you're turning there, you remember we have started a campaign here at Grace a few months ago called Reach. And if you remember, the R stands for, anybody remember? Refresh. And today we want to just take some time to just refresh in the Lord. And so I want us to look at this psalm, and today I just want us to have some time, because I know many of us are looking at this week and going, oh no, it's about to get really, really busy. And this has hopefully been a great summer for you to be able to take some time, but I want us to take some time this morning just to make sure that we are centering ourselves on Jesus Christ. And that as we go through this life, that we remember that He is the one who is going to sustain us. And as we begin the year, I want us to take some time and have some time today to just be able to reflect upon who Jesus is as we take communion, to remember what He did for us in going to the cross and giving us life, but also to make that commitment that God, as we begin this new year, that God, that we're going to remember to make you our shepherd. And not only as an individual, but as a family and as our ministry. And so maybe today, during the invitation, you would just like to take communion as a family and pray with your family and dedicate this year to the Lord. Or maybe you want to get with some of your ministry leaders and pray for your ministry. Or maybe you just want to come as an individual. But as the Lord speaks to you, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. So I'd like for you to look with me as we're going to look briefly at Psalms 23 and look at the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are the great shepherd, and Jesus, that You have come and You have led the sheep who know You, and You're taking them on a journey to this place where we will be with You forever. And I pray today, if there's anyone here who does not know You as the great shepherd, Lord, I pray today would be their day of salvation. And I pray for those here that do, Lord, that we would center our lives and dedicate, Lord, this desire to be able to start this year following You intimately and closely, and that the relationship with You would be the most important thing in our life as we begin to tackle this week and the busy season ahead. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a first grader who stood in front of their classroom, and they made a speech and said, "What I want to do when I grow up is I want to be a lion tamer. And I want to have lots of fierce lions. And I want to be able to walk in the cage and hear them roar right back at me and be able to be in front of them and tell them what to do and get them to do all their tricks and everything." And then he paused for a moment and thought about what he just said. And he says, "But of course I'll have my mommy with me." And you know, life is scary. There's a lot of challenges in life. There's a lot of dangers. And you know, it's hard to go through this life unless we have someone who will go through it with us. And the reality is we can have friends We can have other people who are close to us, and they can go through life with us for a season. But there is only one who can get us through all the challenges in life. And that is the Great Shepherd. And so I want us to look at this passage briefly so that we can have the proper focus, as I said, as we go into this new year. And the first thing I want you to see is that we are sheep. If Jesus is the Great Shepherd, then that implies that we are sheep. And that might sound exciting at first, but when you think about sheep, that's not really a great compliment. Because first of all, sheep are pretty weak. You know, sheep are one of the very few animals that have no self-defense mechanism. There's nothing that they can do to protect themselves. I mean, what does the sheep do when the wolf or the coyote comes and attacks it? Bah! That's it. And then it's eaten. There's nothing that it can do. And what can we do when death comes knocking at our door? Absolutely nothing. We're weak. We can be strong one day, and we can be bedridden the next. We're just like sheep. Secondly, sheep are scared. You know, it's actually possible to actually go behind a sheep and scare it, and will actually literally scare it to death. And you know, there's so many people who are living their life and they're driven by this one motivation. It's fear. I would imagine that there's people in this room today that the thing that motivates you to live is that there's something that's scaring you. Man, I've been there. I've had that place where I have lived that perfectionist life, not wanting to mess up. Anybody ever been there also? Anybody ever just want to please everybody? And you're worried what everybody else thinks about you? And we wake up, and the reason that we live is we are scared. Let me tell you, that's a terrible way to live. And there's a different way to live. And this is how sheep live. They live in fear. And also, sheep are unfortunately stupid. And unfortunately, mankind is stupid. You know, man, how many times do we look at people who are Hollywood stars? They have all the riches and fame and everything, and yet we see that they die of drug overdose. And yet how many people go into that lifestyle of thinking that drugs will solve their problem, or if they could get more money, it'll solve their problem, or if they could just be famous, it'll solve their problem. And just like a sheep, they will watch a sheep and they will follow it, and if it falls off the cliff, they'll just continue to follow off of it to its own death. And isn't that just like mankind? We see the sheep in front of us that don't have success. They have an emptiness, a loneliness, they have despair, and yet we follow the exact same things that they're doing. Stupid. You see, a shepherd will move the sheep to the better pastures. Because if sheep will just stay at the same ground, they would stay there the whole time, eat all the grass that is there, and will eventually die unless the shepherd was there to be able to move them on. Sheep are just not very smart. And this is what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, the Bible says we are like sheep. We have all gotten lost. And this is what's interesting. You know, a dog and a cat, you ever read those stories how they can be separated 100 miles and they end up finding their way home? They have this sense of being able to know where home is and be able to get back there. Guess what type of animal does not have that? A sheep. When a sheep is lost, it just stays lost. And doesn't know how to get back home. And let me tell you, friends, when we sin and we're lost from God, there's no way we know how to get back home unless the Good Shepherd comes and gets us. And aren't we thankful that he does? So that leads us to the second point. I want you to see that Jesus is the Great Shepherd. Notice it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not interested in today if you believe that Jesus is the Lord. I'm interested in, is Jesus your Lord? There's a difference. There's a difference between having the knowledge here in your head and saying, oh, God is great, Jesus is great. I know that. We can all say that. But what I want to know today is, do you say, Jesus is my shepherd? He is my Savior. He has died for my sins. I am forgiven. I am free. He is my Lord. I follow him. There's a difference between knowing it up in our head and knowing it in our heart. The psalmist here says, no, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice the first thing he does is he restores. It says in verse 2, verse 1, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. You see, our soul was broken. It was damaged when we chose to sin. And it's Jesus who comes and he is able to make it new again. You know, if you go to a lot of warehouses and places like that, you'll see a lot of times that there's a lot of pallets that they have and they're just trying to get rid of them and throw them away. And those pallets maybe disposed would be worth about $5. But if somebody goes and collects those pallets, and they make it into a piece of art, or they make it into some type of flooring, those pallets can be worth thousands of dollars. And that's what God did. God took our brokenness, and he says, listen, in my hands I can make that something of great value, and I can restore you. And God makes us new. He leads us into that green pasture. We have that relationship with him. Notice what it says in John chapter 10. It says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Let me ask you, when God speaks, do you know his voice? When's the last time God spoke to you? Man, if you're in a relationship with God, you should be able to hear his voice. This is what it means to have a relationship with God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about, do you go to church? Have you been baptized? Have you gone through rituals? Do you give money? Do you serve? You can do all those things and be lost and on your way to hell. But when you have a relationship with Christ and you hear his voice, your soul is restored when you know that the God of this universe knows your name and you are his sheep and he is your shepherd. That word for restore means to restore with vitality, vigor, strength, to renew, to invigorate. And this is what the Lord does to those who know him. He gives them a passion to live. Secondly, I want you to see that he restores us. Secondly, he leads us. Notice it says in verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He sets us on this journey for us to live in righteousness, to live in right standing before God and others. If you're following Jesus, then you're desiring, you're wanting to do the right things. Now, I know we all struggle with temptation. Paul did. Paul said, man, the things I know I should do, I don't. The things I know I shouldn't do, I end up doing. But thank God that there's Jesus and he sends the Holy Spirit and he can change that in our lives. And I'm not saying that we don't have struggles, but let me tell you something. If you have accepted a lifestyle of unrighteousness, unholy living, you need to examine whether Jesus really is your shepherd or not. Because if you're following him, then he's leading you not into paths of sin, but paths of what? Of righteousness, of holiness, of doing the right thing. And in that, you bring glory to his name. You do it for him. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, God desires to bless you, and this is why he leads us in paths of righteousness. Oh, Christian, we shouldn't run away from where God wants to lead us. We should allow and welcome his righteousness and to walk in holiness, because in it is where abundant life is. Notice what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. You see, it hasn't changed from the very beginning. God says, if you will follow me in paths of righteousness, this is what you will end up having. You will end up being a blessing, and I will bless you, and you will bring glory to my name. So he restores us, he leads us, but thirdly, I want you to see he delivers us. Notice what he says in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know, but this should get some of you to start shouting. Because he says, listen, for the Christian, death is only a shadow. Man, that's hard to grasp, but that is a truth that we anchor our soul on if we are a follower of Jesus. That I don't ever die, I just move. I move from this earth and I move home to be with God. And I'm more alive when I'm there than when I'm here. And when someone dies who's a believer in Christ, there may be a sadness because I miss them, but there is joy in my heart because they are at home with God. That's the anchor that I have. And the only way that I can get through this valley of the shadow of death is if Jesus is the one who goes and walks with me and leads me. There's no fear there. He comforts me. He gives me strength. His rod and his staff are there. You see, the rod and the staff were used for the sheep to discipline them. And God says, listen, if you are my child, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to discipline you. Because if you get off the wrong course, I'm going to bring you back in. Now, you know, there are times when my kids have friends over and they do silly, stupid things, and I might say, don't do that or whatever. But after the friend leaves, my kids learn what discipline is. There's a difference. I don't discipline the other kids, because you know what? They're not what? Mine. But my kids, I what? I discipline. Why? Because I don't want them to keep living that type of way. And let me tell you something. If God is bringing discipline in your life, you ought to praise him, because that is a sign that you are his child. And why he's doing this is to make sure that he keeps you on that path, and you can rest assured that no matter what happens, you are rescued from sin and from death. Notice what John chapter 10 says in verse 13. It says, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep, and known by my own, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. How are we delivered from death? It's not because of anything we've done. There's no one here who can defeat death. The statistics are still 100%. Everybody in this room is going to die one day. But this is the reality. That Jesus Christ says, listen, I love you so much that this is what I'm going to do. I am going to die in your place. I, who am perfect, who have not sinned, I will die on your behalf, and I will die in your place, and I will die and take your sin, and I will take your sin, and I will lay down my life voluntarily, and I will die and go into the grave and pay the penalty for sin so that you can have life. Let me tell you, that is an amazing sense of love. And that's what Jesus Christ did for you. He laid down his life and he delivered you. And all you have to do is simply say, God, I admit I have done things wrong. I'm a sinner. And there's no way that I can have eternal life on my own. I can't deliver myself from death, but I believe that you died, and I believe 3 days later you rose again from the dead to have victory. And God, I'm going to choose to turn from my sin and repent, and I'm going to place my faith in you, and today I'm going to make you my shepherd. And the Bible says he will be your deliverer. And then there'll be that day when death comes knocking at the door, and you'll be able to have a peace that passes all understanding and says, oh no, I'm not dying, I'm moving. And I can't wait to be with my shepherd forever. Finally, I want you to see he protects us. Or next, I want you to see that he protects us. Notice what it says. He says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We see here that we are protected, that we are taken care of, that we see here that the shepherd that is true will stay with his sheep. But there's the lions, there's the wolves, and the false shepherds will flee. The hirelings will run away. But this is what Jesus says. He says, listen, I don't care what you're going through. If Satan is coming after you, if the world is beating you up, I am going to be in the middle of it, and I will be there to protect you. Notice what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 15. It says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends, neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you likewise, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You see, we need protection because there is a world, there is an enemy, and this is where we can rest assured. Parents, especially as we're sending our children off to school, we worry about them. But how many of we know that there is a great protector? And that's Jesus. And we need to be praying that protection over our children this year and let them trust in the fact that, that there is a God who watches over them. The last thing I want us to be able to see is the rewards of what happens when we follow Jesus as shepherd. And the first thing I want you to see is that he has provisions. Notice what it says in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy." You prepare this table, this feast. I don't know about you, but any of you ever get stressed out over bills sometimes? Got to pay the house, the car, the food, and then something breaks, and you're like, where's the money going to come from? Isn't it'll be glorious when we get to heaven? Don't have to worry about whether we have Obamacare or Trump care. It doesn't matter. Never get sick again. Don't have to worry about health insurance deductibles.